Live on BBS Radio. Good afternoon or evening, whatever time of day it is for you. Today it is Monday, July the 22nd, 2019. We do have our Monday evening conference call simulcast with this radio show. And I wonder what Winfrey has in store for us tonight. After this 1 hour show, we will go right into the whole planet healing gathering, which you can partake in by calling the conference call, where we get together. We talk back and forth, and then Wynn mutes the phone line and does a reading, usually from earlier channeled information, where after he puts worldly issues into the love light, like a meditation or a prayer, where we use our group consciousness, our group energy, in combination with those individuals that partake here with us from the Ra group and Elohim group. They can send love light to our planet or issues, and it is important for them to have us human here on the ground floor to anchor those energies. The whole planet healing call starts at 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 days a week. The phone number to call in is 712-770-4340, and the access code is 250-513-pounds, 250-513-pounds. Good evening to the first caller here. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Jeannie. Hi.
Hello, Jeannie. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And for those that want to look to the dedicated website, it has just a little bit of information on it, particularly the phone number to call into. It's wholeplanethealing.com. And the phone number one more time is 712-770-4340. Access code 250-513-pound. All right. We are only 1 minute away from the hour, so I will wait for more people to call in. And hopefully they will announce themselves. Yesterday's call, were you there, Jeannie, yesterday morning with the great healing call?
Yes.
I think it was great information that came through Terry. And then also, pretty significant that she was just channeling while being in her conscious mind. Two more people joined in here. Good evening to you. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio, everybody.
Hello, Don. Welcome to you.
Thanks.
Antonio in California.
Hello, Antonio. Buenas noches.
Hi, Antonio.
Hi, Don. it.
And another person joined in. Welcome to you. Please say a name and location.
Hi, Barb from Ohio.
Hello, Barb. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks.
Hi, Barb.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Barb.
Hi, Antonio.
I never knew.
Somebody
Pardon?
Else joined in. Welcome. Please say a name and location. But, of course, only if you want to. We welcome you.
What did you say, Antonio? I didn't hear all of that.
And we had another person join in. Welcome to you. Please say a name and location.
Hi, it's Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Terry. I said
Hi.
I didn't know.
Antonio's being mysterious.
There's buenos dias, buenas tardes, and buenas noches. But I thought there was something else. But...
More than that, even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
Hi, hi. It's Jennifer from Greensburg, PA.
Hello, Jennifer. Welcome.
Hello. Thank
hi,
you. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. I thought... Buenas noches was when you say that when they're going to bed.
Mm. That's good night.
Yes.
Good night. Okay. Good evening.
Okay.
All right.
In Czech and Slovak, it's dobru noc.
Dobru noc.
Dobru noc. Like a tsetse fly. Noc.
Interesting.
Sounds nice.
There's a song about that.
Donut.
Remember, donut. I used to know a few Polish words. I can't not thinking of any right now.
One of them is Dobrunocmo Mamila, which is my dearest. It's like a lovey-dovey type song.
Sweet.
I learned manly ones.
We had another call. Jordan, welcome. Please say a name and location.
Hello, hi, and everyone. Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. Good evening.
Hi,
welcome.
Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
Nastrovia. I think it's what you say when you drink.
Oh, Nastrovia. Nastrovia.
Yeah.
To your health.
Cheers.
It sounds like nice driveway to English people.
Welcome to the next caller. Two more people. Welcome. Please say a name and location.
Positive greetings, hi, from Sedona.
Hello, Raiden. Positive greetings to you.
Hi, Raiden.
You.
Hi,
Raiden. Hi. We're getting thunder and a little teeny bit of rain and clouds and lightning.
Something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mixed bag.
Yeah, it was like 104 or 106 here.
Oh, my goodness, Antonio.
Yeah, it was in the 100s, too.
Didn't we hit 70 here today after being the upper 80 halls in 90 yesterday? Drop.
I know. It's like, no, oh, I should have worn my coat outside this morning.
Horribly hot.
I like it better. I don't like it when it's too hot and humid.
Yeah. Well, today it was extremely humid, but not as hot. It was only in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
You could kind of cut it with a knife. You know that kind of humidity, Don.
Not too bad here.
I welcome the next caller. Please say a name and location.
It's Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. Hi.
Well, Jennifer, did you get any floods out there in Greensburg?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're close to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we're close to Pittsburgh, but not too bad here. Mainly it's creeks that are overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
Like my daughter lives in a little town called Uniontown, and every time
I know where that is.
Summer, they get it. The whole town's flooded. They've got to do something. It's awful.
Yeah.
But right
I have a lot of
where I'm at, no, we didn't really have a huge problem.
Well, I have a lot of relatives in that western area of Pennsylvania all over the place.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Coal miners, steel workers, you know.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the working
people.
Ohio's
a union town.
What?
Ohio's got a union town.
I know. A girl from Uniontown, PA, moved to Uniontown, Ohio.
And that's real close to me. It's over near Hartville.
Oh, my heavens. Yeah. It is a small world, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a relative that lived in Greensburg, but they passed on. Their last name was Parania.
Parania?
Parania, P-A-R-A-N-A.
Oh, no, I don't know.
That.
Yeah,
I'm
not a native of this particular town that I'm living
okay.
in, so I don't know a lot of people here.
I've been there a couple times, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greensburg is more or less a suburb of Pittsburgh anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the highways and all. A lot of people live here and work in the city.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. But, of course, only if you want to. We welcome you.
Antonio, are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Are you feeling better?
I am.
Okay, good, good, good. That was, I think, Dawn bringing it to the attention of our sources may help it. Yeah, they'll help
yes.
all of us send you calming energies.
And they said I was really sensitive to energy.
Sensitive, yes. Now, what could help you control that? Maybe meditation? Do you meditate?
Become insensitive.
Well, that's easier said than done sometimes. But meditation might allow you a little more mental control, so it doesn't trigger that physical panicky thing, you know, because it is a physical thing.
It's
caused by your nervous system, you know. You get that.
Is that the fight or flight syndrome?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it is. And then it manifests in, I got to get out of here, you know.
Yeah,
horrible.
Yeah.
I've had some of this in my lifetime. Thankfully, not for years. But it's a horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah. Last Sunday they said I was feeling anxious and had a panic attack because of an earthquake that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've got to figure out a way to control your sensitivity to the stimulus, because the stimulus isn't going to quit, you know? You have to learn how to adapt to the your sensitivity.
The only meditating I do is on Whole Planet Healing, so I have to... building some pyramids, so I meditate in that.
That might make a big difference.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Two more people joined in. Welcome to you folks. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this
Hello,
is Bonnie in California.
Hi, Bonnie. Welcome.
Bonnie.
Hi.
Hi, Bonnie.
And this is Jane in Pennsylvania. Hi, Bonnie.
Welcome
Hi,
to you. Welcome,
Hi, Jane.
Jane.
Thank you.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
Have you ever been to Sewickley, Pennsylvania?
I have been through that area.
Yeah,
yeah,
me too.
I don't know anybody there. Yeah.
It's a nice little town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I have another relative that lives there too. I told you I got them all over Western Pennsylvania.
You sure do.
Well, I have to tell you, my dad was almost born in a barn. I mean, my grandma had to run into the house to have my dad.
Oh, my
goodness. She was milking a cow in the barn and had to run in the house to have my dad.
Oh, my God.
How romantic.
I know.
That was the last kid.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
You've been a barn baby.
Baby. I win.
Hi, Antonio.
I've been looking up stuff about sensitive to energy to see if
energy
I find
what?
Any tip. I was looking up stuff about being sensitive to energy to see if I find anything that could help me.
You know what? You sound like you're mumbling to me. Do you guys understand them?
Breaking up a little bit, Antonio. You're saying he's looking up, being sensitive to energy. and looking for things that could help him.
Help
right.
him?
Yeah.
That's right.
You know what? You know what would help you, Antonio?
I already told him he should become insensitive.
I just got a very I got a very creative idea. Go on Google and look up Ellen Scares People.
That's horrible.
I don't know about that.
No, I don't think he needs calming energy, Lynn.
Did you guys? No. This is practice. Did you guys ever see that video or see that?
Uh-huh.
Ellen DeGeneres, right?
Yep.
Ellen DeGeneres.
What it is?
You know, she has a habit of scaring her guests, and like they'll both be sitting, you know, on couches with a table in between them. And they'll be engaged in a serious conversation, and out of the middle of it, suddenly the wood on the tabletop breaks, a head pops out, and this guy that looks like he's dressed in a Halloween costume jumps out and goes, "Ah!" and runs off.
Oh, God. That's horrible.
There's two videos of her doing it to all these famous people on YouTube.
It is funny.
Antonio, watch it.
Yes.
And see if you can condition yourself so the next time somebody jumps out of the box, you're not surprised. Okay?
Like, well, people try to scare me and it doesn't work.
It doesn't. They can't scare you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's from I'm a Scorpio and I like scary movies, but like supernatural movies where like a ghost just pops out out of nowhere or something happens.
Did you see Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah. But I don't like those kind of movies because it's all the blood and gore. I like supernatural movies with ghosts.
Evan Costello Meet Frankenstein.
That's a classic.
How many of you, we better start, right? Terry, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
You scared me, Terry.
Hi.
Are you lurking in the background waiting for the opportunity to say boo to Antonio?
You scared me, Terry.
Now, Antonio, are those supernatural movies, is it the same as X-rated or not?
No.
Or maybe just suspense movies.
Yeah.
How many of you saw the Twilight? No, the Outer Limits show where these aliens landed on Earth and kept saying, "We come to serve you." Did you guys see that?
There's
yeah.
man.
I don't remember that one. What happened? I don't remember.
It was a classic.
Spoiler alert.
You're spending all this time on. You remember, is that Dharmananda?
No, it was Don.
You remember it, right, Don?
Yeah, I remember that. Classic.
I mean, that was a classic. These aliens had landed and they were doing all this nice stuff for everybody. And then finally they say, "Let's take you for a trip to our planet," and they're all getting on the spaceship, and one of the guys picks up a book before he gets on the spaceship, which is a cookbook for the aliens, and they're cooking humans, and it's called "We Come to Serve You." Little did we know that was true.
Webster was in touch with something, I think. He had some very progressive ideas.
Pardon me?
Rod Serling, who had the Twilight Zone. He wrote all those, and I think
that was not Rod Serling. That was The Outer Limits, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You're right.
How many of you saw the one where the guy was on the airplane? This was Twilight Zone.
Captain
he kept
Kirk.
Looking out.
He kept looking
out the window, and there was this monster on the wing.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was William Shatner who played the guy.
Yes,
that's what it was.
Yeah.
And he was looking out the window, and every time he called the stewardess over, the monster would disappear.
Of course.
Thing on it. They were in a restaurant, and you put a nickel in the fortune-telling machine that had devil head on it, and you got addicted to the fortune.
I remember that one. All right, we see our topic for tonight. Guys, let's start the recorder.
We have Australia represented, and also a dolphin has shown up, I believe.
Hello, everybody. How are you all?
Good. Thank you for being here.
Muted.
Here goes.
Oops. Today is July 22nd.
Yes. Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is July 22nd. This is our Monday night conference call. And we're going to have a discussion about old science fiction movies on TV or otherwise. Are you guys okay with that?
No.
No? Did you say no?
Unmuted. We were muted.
Come on, Isaac.
No, I think that's a great idea.
I mean, actually, there is so much truth in science fiction. And I remember when I was young, I read it and said, yeah. How many of you read Stranger in a Strange Land?
I did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Rock.
That's a true wanderer's story.
All right.
Yeah.
And how many of you saw Forbidden Planet?
Oh yeah.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
More recently, I think, actually.
That was a masterpiece, actually.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It's been on the movie channels.
It was. Antonio, did you see Forbidden Planet?
What year did it come out?
Probably before you were born.
Yeah, it's black and white, I believe.
Oh, my.
around 1957, I think.
You're something.
Was that Roger?
Yeah.
Roger.
Seen it 53 or 57.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had Mystery Science. Theater version of the fiction movies.
That's what
Walter Pigeon and Yvette Mimi. How do you say her last name?
Mimieux.
Yeah. It was very sexy in it.
No, that wasn't her.
No.
And the story was about this spaceship that got marooned on a planet. And they didn't hear from them. So they sent another spaceship to get them. And they found there were all these invisible monsters on the planet. And they had to kind of always protect themselves. And Walter Pigeon had invented this machine where you put this cap on your head and it would manifest what you were thinking of. it would just turn it into a physical object, as I recall. And by the end of the movie, it came out that all the monsters were parts of Walter Pidgeon's subconscious. That was the machine was creating them from his subconscious.
Monsters so, from the id.
Monsters from the id. Yeah. And it seemed to have a great correlation. How many of you experienced that your unconscious creates monsters for you of someone, some sort or another?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Probably.
Okay. What's that?
Probably.
Probably. So, does anyone want to share? You know, you may have heard me tell that story of how that dog jumped out and ran across the street and rammed my motorcycle. You heard that, right? How many of you heard that?
Yeah.
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 And it was the day after I saw the movie Brujo, which was about a dog ramming a car.
Cujo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jerry was telling me that I had it in my unconscious, and I sent the signal out to the dog, and that's why he did it. You know?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts are real, you know?
Yeah. Who else has an experience of the subconscious creating, we don't have to use the word monster, but creating, you know, we all have weird obstacles in our life, okay? I shouldn't say all, but most of us do. We have they seem insurmountable no matter what you do. You come up against them. And I'm sure those obstacles are created by your subconscious in some way, but they don't seem that way. It's not obvious. Like, can anyone relate to that?
Yes, I had a snake popping out of my head like Medusa on Saturday.
You had what?
I felt like Medusa.
Is that Shirley?
Yes. Yes.
Now, say it again slowly because I'm not getting it.
Okay. I felt like Medusa with snakes popping out of my head on Saturday. And I unleashed my nature on... I was provoked and suppressed for several weeks, and I just like unleashed it all. And I'm back in my own apartment. I had moved, and I moved in with my daughter and son-in-law, and it just didn't work. And that's okay, and I understand. And I'm back in my own space again, and I feel like me again. But every now and then throughout my various relationships, I feel like I turn into Medusa at one point or another. And, yeah, but I try and control her. But I don't know if it's an archetypal thing, or, but it's very deep. And I think it may be a past life thing.
Does it scare you when it happens?
When I lose control, I want control. It doesn't, it takes a lot of energy. It drains me.
What are the characteristics of being Medusa?
The characteristics?
Yeah.
Oh, my. it's, yeah, the anger, uncontrollable anger towards life, towards
Medusa,
mother,
Medusa
towards,
Medusa
yeah.
Uncontrollable anger, right?
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah.
Well, Medusa used to turn anybody that looked at it to stone.
Yeah, I haven't turned anybody to stone yet, but
never know.
You probably wish.
I have refrained from that, but I feel like I could. You know, it's difficult not to sometimes, but.
Well, you've been through a lot lately, emotionally, too.
Yeah,
you just
yeah.
Have to get it out.
I just, I don't take abuse well, and I'm a fighter. I fight.
To be abused. You're not supposed to accept it. You're correct. You're good. You don't take anybody's nonsense.
Yeah.
Shirley,
I can say, when I hear you talk right now,
yes.
Your voice has gotten so much stronger than it was
even
not very long ago. I see that with a lot of you, or a number of you. Your voice has gotten stronger. Your energy is stronger. Your ability to create intentions is stronger. So, good work.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. But I have this innate ability of either I can bring the worst out in somebody or I can bring the very best out. And I like it to be positive, but I know I just have to rise above polarity to not get stuck in the muck.
Well, you know, I will tell you something. I do that as well. Did you know that?
No.
And one of the things that happens is that when you start holding a light consciousness, once that starts happening, somebody who has these negative monsters in them, they will try to invariably catch you up in their negativity.
Yes.
And they want a negative reflection. Back. It's like people who gossip or people who find things wrong with people. They love to talk with other people and say, "Isn't so and so like this? And isn't so and so like that?" And, you know, and it makes them feel a little superior. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you start to hold a light consciousness, and somebody has any of those kinds of patterns. And they try to bounce it. They try to get you to reflect it back to them. If you're strong enough, you won't reflect it back. And they get their own pattern back at them. And it gets them angry. Gets them angry because they can't catch you in it. Okay? So... it's good to understand that and not feel like you're doing something wrong when that's going on.
Thank you. That brings clarity. That helps me, yes.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, looking at it personally, you know, it's like, oh, gee, I'm a real personal mess up, you know. But then I thought, no, I'm just showing this person what is deep within them that they refuse to see sometimes, and it's not always.
You're not even trying to show it to them. You don't really want it to happen.
It's out of control.
You know, Terry and I had a really big issue recently. It's kind of like that. Okay. That there was a person in our life who I saw all kinds of negative patterns in them. And Terry, you know, Terry is so loving and nice. And there's times when I think she should have a boundary, and she doesn't. She lets people into her vulnerable space because she wants to love everybody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let her correct me on this.
Oh, that's right.
She wants to love people, and she thinks she's going to save them by loving them. So this particular person, I just shut them out. I wouldn't talk to them. And they had this most constant state of anger around me. And they would emotionally connect to Terry, and she would be vulnerable to them. And I kept telling her, I think you're making a mistake, but things have to unfold naturally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so recently, the person actually stole something from Terry that was quite valuable. And suddenly Terry got it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It hurts when you're trusting and people do that to you.
Yeah.
It's very
but the thing is, people that do that, usually, they know how to use emotions to get under your skin. And they mm-hmm. you think they like you. And that the part of you that wants people to like you just says, oh, they really like me. And from my perception, you know, people can be very tricky because they have agendas. And they wait for their moment. And they keep you snared. And then when the right moment comes, you find out who they really are. Now, if you didn't get hooked by wanting to be liked, you would have noticed earlier. But Terry and I got into huge arguments about it, and I used to give up and say, okay, let it be. Because it's a way that somebody learns the lesson about this stuff, you know? And she couldn't just change her attitude to this person because I said so. It had
right.
to come from her.
Yeah.
She wouldn't learn a lesson. Then she'd feel like Wynn is controlling her, you know?
But you still want to give a person a chance, though. And
yeah.
sometimes
yeah.
they just have to disprove themselves to
yeah.
you.
Well,
you know?
I agree, and I do give people chances. There's a lot of times the beginning of something, you don't trust them. You give them a chance. Trust has to be earned over time. Like, look at how long we've been together, and we kind of trust each other now. But you couldn't have that trust 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I mean, you had, how can I say it? There's an attraction to the work, but it's not the same as, like, I'm trusting you as well. Like, I'm just being myself, totally, and I'm not trying to be a know-it-all or a big shot or talking to the Elohim and, wow, aren't I special? I mean, they told me, it was interesting, I discovered this old channeling a very long time ago, and they said, listen, don't be a proselytizer. Just let our messages come in, and let the people that it's right for will be moved by it. And you don't have to try too hard. It took me a while to figure that out. I still try. I'm still, you know, before I bring messages in, I feel vulnerable because I feel like I'm giving somebody something very, very sacred. And I want to set it up in the best way. But even on Whole Planet Healing, sometimes when somebody, I've watched this, when somebody new comes in and I try to overcompensate to make them know what we're doing, mm-hmm. I end up blowing my energy for the whole call mm-hmm. because I get locked into doing it for them instead of for the whole group, you know?
Yep.
I've noticed that pattern. But
I agree. I agree with you. It depletes some of your energy.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes everybody is new. Like if I'm on George Norrie or if I'm on a radio show, I have to talk to everybody as if they're new. You can't just go on and do an Elohim channeling. I don't think we could. I haven't ever done it, you know? Like, I'm on a show and I say, okay, let's ask some questions. I have to talk a little bit to help create foundational group energy so that Terry's safe and comfortable and they can come in. Terry, am I right? Come on, mm-hmm. speak up.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And yeah, sometimes people think, when is just riding on Terry's coattails?
No.
She needs you. She needs your balancing energy.
We wouldn't be doing this except for when.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, she's too vulnerable.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But that's just how perception is, you know?
It's that kind shouldn't of like, be your problem. That's not your focus.
No.
The work. Yeah.
But you know, people say things like that because, like, sometimes they'll try to divide Terry and I. And they'll say, you know, Terry, you're the star here. You don't need him, right? Or
right. I know. You know, you could do this all by yourself. You know, and he's just riding on your coattails. Who said that?
Yeah, who would say such a thing?
Yeah, who would say
you
that?
Think I'm going to tell you?
Well, whoever it was, they don't understand the work.
Isn't that your dream, Wynn?
What is that?
Isn't that your dream? You stop doing it to go do your music or something?
Well, I'm too old to be a hitchhiker anymore, I think. But you know what? When Terry and I do good, we really do good. And she is really an angel. And I feel like her angelic side. But you'd be surprised. There's a part of her, she doesn't like to be challenged. She likes, you know, the person I was talking about. We used to get into huge arguments because I was sure of myself with this person. I mean, they had already done horrible things that demonstrated to me a total lack of character and honoring free will and all kinds of stuff. And, I mean, it was so strong that if I would see them, I wouldn't even say hello to them. I'd act like they weren't there, you know? And
but other of my friends, like I introduced them to a couple of other of my friends, and we had breakfast together quite a lot, and finally they just took me aside and talked to me about that person. This person is not your friend.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
But it's good when it comes to an end. It's like paying to go to school. And you take a loss.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a big enough loss so it hurts. And I said, Terry, next time I warn you about something like that, please take me seriously.
Well, I'll take a look at it.
I mean,
she's an independent girl.
She has a very stubborn side, okay?
All right.
Don't all women?
Well, she has four planets in Taurus.
Uh-oh.
You know, that's pretty stubborn.
Uh-huh.
See, I have one planet in Taurus, sun in Taurus. But I have all this Gemini.
Ooh,
which
has a combination.
Which is a Well, you know, the Taurus makes me determined and dogged, and the Gemini makes me very facile. I guess
mm-hmm.
that's the right word. You know, quick to shift and change and go with the moment.
Yep.
And pick up influences. So, hello to everybody on BBS. You know, we usually make pretend you're not there. But if you happen to be a regular listener on BBS, why don't you call us up and tell us your favorite science fiction movie? It's a good chance to call, and you don't have to be scared. I promise to be nice. The numbers for BBS are on their screen. Sometimes I make pretend we're not on BBS. Sometimes I wonder if anyone's listening to us, you know?
I forgot, and now I'm ready to have a panic attack. Oh, my.
You think I just gave somebody a panic attack?
Are we unmuted? Or?
We're unmuted, yes, Nicholas.
I was just... Hey, everybody. I was just thinking of there's a movie on Netflix. They had it on there a little while ago about I think Matthew McConaughey was in it. And it's about the different dimensional realms. And he was he'd been up to the moon before as an astronaut. And his daughter and his family, they had to give him up. He had to go to save the planet, and he went into this other dimension through this wormhole and ended up in the fifth dimension, and he could see his daughter through a bookcase. I don't know if any... I can't remember what it was actually called. But
it was Interstellar.
Yeah, Interstellar. That's a really good watch. I got a lot of goosebumps and I felt like a lot of energy when I was watching that movie. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It's a good one.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you should look at that.
Now, there is a famous movie from Australia. I think it was Australia. I want to see if you saw it. I think it was called Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
You never saw it, huh?
Seen it.
Not 100%. I don't know. I may have. I know the name.
Now, did you ever see Olivia Newton-John?
I have not seen her, no. The TV, but not personally.
I mean, you're in Australia. Doesn't she walk down the street sometimes?
She might do. I just might be on a different, I just might be on a different street to her. Yeah.
I think she lives primarily in America because she's going through cancer treatment again.
Yes.
Was that Olivia Newton-John?
Yeah.
You
know, She was actually giving a talk in Jerome, which is about 20 miles from here, some store. And I don't know how they got her to give a talk. She must know the owners or something. But I was going to go see her. I think she was one of the most, two of the people of the past who were singers. They were most definitely wanderers. And one of them was Olivia Newton-John. She was so angelic, you know?
Yes, she was.
And Dolly Parton.
And who? Dolly Parton?
Dolly.
Yeah. I wouldn't call Dolly Parton angelic, okay? I call her an old soul, but not angelic, okay? I mean, Olivia Newton-John was a little, had aspects like Terry. Did you ever hear about that guy that she went out with that just abandoned her? I can't remember the story, but it just seems like she was a fool for years for somebody who was endeared to her for her money. And then he disappeared, and he seems like he died on a boat accident or something. And then, but he actually was discovered living in South America with another woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it was kind of sad.
Do you remember that story?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I always think that she had to have been naive not to pick that up beforehand.
I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I
because
agree.
When things are wrong, if you're intuitive, you can feel it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
People like Terry wants people to be good so badly and thinks that love is gonna save them, won't see those patterns until it's too late.
Right.
Yeah.
Because most times, very rarely, I mean, how many of you ever gotten into a relationship with someone and thought you could love them and save them from themselves?
I.
Was that a Roger?
I have.
You have?
Everyone's probably been in at least one.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have when I was younger, I didn't really acknowledge myself. But I'll tell you what happened. I would get into relationships, and you know how when things are going bad, somebody is accusing you of doing something, you're accusing them of doing something. And you go back and forth, and eventually it just dissolves, right? Doesn't work. And I noticed this pattern that when I would get into another relationship, I would be doing something else bad, not the same thing I was in the previous one. But the people that I was involved with always did the same thing from one relationship to the next. And I had to look at that and say, maybe I'm good and everyone else is bad.
Maybe.
Not really. That's not the right way to say it, because I wasn't good. But it's like I was changing from each person. I was like taking on their, reflecting their energy back to them. And it always looked different because they all had different obstacles. But they would always go into the same relationship again and again. So it was a very profound observation for me to see that. And of course, Terry has, I shouldn't be talking about Terry. Terry, can I talk about you? Terry, are you there? Earth to Terry.
Yeah, I muted myself. Yeah, I said one more time. Go ahead, one more time.
Okay. You said I can talk about your past life?
Oh, that past life. Okay.
The one where you were an idiot?
Yeah. I believed in flowers and romance and
She was a dancer, and some guy kept bringing her flowers and asking her out and taking her to nice restaurants. And it didn't work out good. It worked out really bad.
Terrible. Oh, worked out terrible. I think he was very, very famous. A very famous guy that everybody in the world was in love with, every woman. And he could have his choice of anybody. And he was just playing me for a fool.
And he ended up getting her pregnant.
And left you.
Worse than that.
Killed me. Oh, that's horrible.
I know.
He was the future king of England.
Get out.
And he didn't want to leave any dirty laundry out in the world, you know?
Yeah, right. Oh, that's horrible.
But he sure was easy to fall for.
Well, if you're a sucker for flowers and
I love
girl
flowers.
Stuff, Lynn. Girls like that.
Yeah. You know, one day I was imagining the most beautiful flowers, thinking of times when I was in the garden with beautiful flowers around me, and then there was a ring at the doorbell, and I went to the doorbell that was right here where I'm now, and there was a guy with a huge bunch of flowers, and he said, "The people next door aren't home, and this is for them. Could you give it to them?" That was wild.
How many of you saw The Day the Earth Stood Still?
Both of them?
Yeah. It's been a while, but yeah.
I don't think I have.
There's been two of them, right?
They did a remake.
That's good.
I have a movie. It's a Robin Williams movie called What Dreams May Come.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
that movie is stunning. Oh, my
God. That was an awesome movie. And its portrayal of heaven was, I thought, really right on.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful movie. If you haven't seen that, you should. It's on. Everyone's on for free.
Did you know Robin Williams used to be a mime in Central Park?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember his stories. He used to go on Johnny Carson. Cracked Johnny up. He was just crazy. Mm-hmm. He was sort of manic.
Now you guys know who Robin Williams was in past life, don't you?
Mm-mm. No. I don't.
No.
You know that Robin Williams, after he died, started talking to me through Terry.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was doing my normal grilling routine. Because whenever this happens, I say, now I think it's probably real. But when it would happen, I say, this has got to be an Orion reptilian trying to hook me.
Yeah.
It's not really Robin Williams. And so he started telling us jokes from the other side. And Terry, you remember any of the jokes?
Yeah. Gwen said, you know, what's your address? What's your telephone number? And he says, I don't remember. So finally, Gwen said, well, you know, why don't you remember? And he said, the people that get Alzheimer's disease, their brain is broken. And I don't even have a brain.
Oh, that's right. He did have that illness. Oh, my goodness.
And then he was listening in on one of our calls, okay?
Really?
And I called in the light. He didn't say anything. I didn't know
he did. Gwen did an invocation and got to the point where... Go ahead.
Now, go ahead. You tell it.
So he said... So Gwen said, and anything negative must leave now. And Robin said, does this mean I have to leave?
Oh, my God.
Another thing, you know, we were trying to get him to do the death walk to go to heaven. And mm-hmm. he says, well, the censors over there might be worse than the ones on Mork and Mindy.
He still has his sense of humor.
Yeah.
So after a few jokes like that, I said, you know what, I think maybe it's Robin. And finally, what got me was he just mentioned that he has had headaches his whole life. And he had these headaches because he died in a plane crash in his past life, his previous life.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, who were you? He said, Will Rogers. Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you look at Will Rogers and look at his face and look at Robin Williams, you can see the same soul. And Will Rogers was very much like Robin Williams in many ways. He used to hang around with all the dignitaries. He was, you know, he was a public figure. He had a newspaper column.
He told the greatest jokes. Like, he'd say, I don't belong to any organized political party. I'm a Democrat.
Lynn, 658.
6:58. Boy, did we make the time go fast, didn't we? Okay, we're going to go over to Whole Planet Healing. If any of you listening on BBS want to join us, we're not going to tell jokes on that. That's serious business. It's 712-770-4340-250-513. 712-770-4540.
Crazy.
What's so funny? I'm not even telling jokes. 250-513. Now, isn't it amazing we can do this? I hope the Elohim is enjoying all these jokes. They probably are. I'm sure they're enjoying us all having such a convivial time together. So thank you all for being here, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
You gave the wrong phone number, Wynn. It's 230, it's not 250. It's 430. You said 450, it's 430.
No, it's 712-770-4340.
Yeah, but you said 450 in the last part of it.
I did? 712-770-4340. Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
And 501. No.
250.
250513.
Or go to wholeplanethealing.com, the website.
And listen, to close this call, we're going to do this for Antonio. On the count of three, we're all going to go boo in the most fierce way. One, two, three. Boo! Did you get scared, Antonio?
Hasta la pasta.
See ya.
I did.
See ya on Whole Planet Healing.
It is. Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
That's left of all.
Your conference recording has stopped.